You're about to start an adventure for the years with the Kennedy Malloy Catch Up Podcast.
The Nissan Pathfinder is where family adventures start. Nissan Pathfinder, family driven.
Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
What a brilliant weekend. Possibly the best ever.
Oh, wow.
I had a ball. Hope you did too. Hello, Australia. We have got a massive show for you today. I'll bring you up to speed in a little moment about what I got.
I'm dying to hear about your weekend, Mick.
What did you do, Jane?
I had Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
I did.
Happy. Hope you all had a great Mother's Day to all the mothers out
Thank
there.
Thank you so much. Did a little bit of work here and there. Someone's got to keep the
You would have been
running.
Across Eurovision.
I was up early. Don't worry.
Did you set the alarm?
I was awake at 5 for the opening.
Isn't that amazing? I set the alarm for like overnight golf.
you do too.
FA Cup game and you go for Eurovision.
This is what it is. We got lots coming up on the show today. I've got another flipping royal update for you.
I cannot wait.
It's coming next Saturday night is the night of nights.
Hey, question.
What?
Where's our cow?
Oh, okay.
I am not mucking around now. I've put this entire network on notice. I've asked for a cow, possibly two. The silence is deafening. We will get to the bottom of that.
I think we will. We're going to get our boss to come and have a chat with us today.
Right.
Hey, we've got Tom Gleisner coming in because have you been paying attention to Turns tonight? And I might know someone else who's appearing on the show.
I think that'd be you.
Oh, hang
that,
on a minute.
Yes, Jane
that
Kennedy.
Me?
Yep.
Yes, it is.
A sacrificial lamb on the first episode.
I know. It's always a worry going
like
on the first
lemmings
one.
Lemmings over the edge of a cliff. Good luck, though.
I think I was all right.
I'll be at home watching, waiting, hoping for an accident.
Please don't do that.
A dog has turned up 4 years, Jane, after it left home. This needs to be addressed. We love it.
They upset me, these stories, but I love a happy ending
happy
and
ending.
We want to know. Other people might have happy
right
ending stories. And I'm afraid I call bullshit in a few things that have caught my eye over the
on
weekend.
A few different thing, and of course, we'll have a little chat about nappy changing etiquette. There is such a thing. We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, but hello! Dave, how are you?
Mick, I've never seen you up on your toes on a Monday like today. What's happening?
You're so happy.
Life is good. You know what? When everything comes into shape, sometimes the world is an amazing place. What did you do over the weekend?
Just a reasonably quiet weekend. My wife's interstate, so just me and the youngins.
Oh, so you didn't have
Head
a real
count?
Mother's
they
Day.
Are they all still there?
I've still got them. They just texted me a moment ago. They're home from school. So
and
okay.
When does your wife back?
She's back on Wednesday night.
Clean the house. Start now.
I vacuumed today.
It's Emu Bob. A military-style operation.
Right, okay.
Get them all.
Are the budgies still alive?
Budgies are going well. The dog and the cat are great. Everyone's fantastic.
You look pretty happy too.
I'm feeling great.
I had a good weekend.
What
it was Mother's Day. And I got the toast and tea in bed.
Nice.
And I said, well, you know what I
so
decided?
So did I, but that's completely different.
Well, we'll get on to you, what you did. I sort of decided as Mother's Day gifts what I'd like is for them all to work for me. So I had them unpacking and stacking dishwasher, taking out the garbage, doing the vacuuming. And I sat back on a big cushion and I loved it.
You know what you're saying? You can't get enjoyment. Unless it's at someone else's expense.
Yeah.
You're a tyrant.
Made me so happy.
You're a tyrant.
Yep.
You
no.
put your kids to work. You're like some kind of sweatshop.
I'm a loving
around
tyrant.
Around at the
Sitch
House while you just sit there.
I do it with a smile.
You're the Aunt Lydia of the eastern suburbs.
Yeah, who's the, who's the one from...
That's a Handmaid's Tale reference.
You are.
Mick, you are very
okay, so I've just
ecstatic.
Had... I went to probably the greatest golfing... location in the world, which is the North Island of New Zealand. I played one of the greatest courses in the world, designed by one of the greatest designers in the world. This place was just amazing. We were the only ones on it.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Reasonably exclusive, apparently.
Right.
Just trying to imagine you and this. Yeah, no, I
and
can't
I
imagine
was,
it
I was
very
like
well.
A sultan of Brunei, being trailed around by about 20 people, taking care of all my needs. I had the greatest caddy ever. They find your ball.
Caddy.
They find your balls. They wash your balls. They staple not washing your clubs. Well, you
they
get
don't.
Pissed at the clubhouse.
No.
I tell you, it's the truth.
Who are your buddies you went away with?
A couple of you might know. Glenn Robbins and Rob Sitch.
I'm familiar with those two.
Did
so
we?
So the three
drinking,
of you.
Drinking big reds. At the clubhouse.
Like Big King Tut.
Telling war stories.
I bet.
War stories?
That we're getting more outrageous as the night
what are
went
your war
on.
Stories?
It was just fantastic. And then at the end of that, when you think it can't get any better, they've got this place. It's like a barn. Mm. It's the greatest man cave I've ever seen. Inside that barn, yeah. you can open the barn door and just piff golf balls like down God. A fairway onto a green. Next to that, there's a simulator where you can play any – name a course, Dave.
Oh, St. Andrews?
You can play it.
Really?
You just push the button and you're playing St. Andrews.
No kidding.
Next to that. Hello, there's a bar, a fully serviced bar. Above that,
you are ecstatic. Look at him.
There's a TV screen, right, playing 24-hour golf. Then over in the corner where the driving range, there's a screen that tells you, that takes all the notes on your swing, and standing next to it is a pro golfer telling you what to do.
A real one.
And you already said to me, he said, well, you might want to put the drink down.
Mick,
good was it?
You travelled in style. Like, you bang on to me about things, but I do know that there was a chopper involved at some stage.
Oh, it's hard to get there. And you don't want to go there and not know where you are geographically, i.e. drinking the beauty, the wonder that is one of the last great wilderness of the world, is North Island.
I'm calling bullshit on that because
what are you doing?
I've been handed some footage of you on the said chopper and going over some of the most stunning and picturesque scenery in the world.
Mm. Glenn Robbins.
Mm. Yeah, Glenn's passed on a little. I'm going to put it up on our Instagram. And little Mickey's having a little snoozy snooze.
What?
He's nodding off. Oh, I'm awake,
You're asleep in a chopper
In my defence.
No defence possible.
In my defence, I fell asleep on a Black Hawk in Afghanistan while we were being shot.
How anyone could do this, you have got to see. And Glenn's face as he's filming this is so funny.
Mick's nodding off. Look at you.
It is rather embarrassing, I would say.
The caddy these days is the closest thing to a Sherpa I'll see in my life. I loved it.
What's better?
The pro shop is my Victoria's Secret. Okay? When I go in, this is the sizes: small, medium, large, extra large. Craig Parry. that's where I shop down that end.
Look at him.
I just love
it. Better than kittens.
Best weekend. Well,
Kennedy Malloy.
How do you say that?
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
Check out Kennedy Malloy Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I'm a nodding off Mick Malloy over the most scenic landscape on planet Earth, Island of New Zealand.
I was tired after all that time in the barn on the golf simulator with the bar. You know what they came for us? I held the joint in a siege situation for 2 days. I've got enough food here till Thursday.
Listen, that Instagram, you got to go to our Instagram, Dave. Can you direct people to it?
Yes, at Kennedy Malloy. Glenn Robbins was basically doing a selfie of himself mixed behind him in the chopper and just nodding off. You're in Nodland.
No, he's trying to keep him. What's funny is you're trying with all your might to stay awake and that's head tips up.
It's what I call the public transport sleep.
Exactly right.
You just nodded, were you?
Oh, no, I'm looking at all the same.
Anyway, I'm surprised it was taken on Glenn's phone because it took him 2 days to find it, left it on a plane after we cleared customs.
Oh, no.
He had to go back in. We nearly missed our chopper to the island. It was a disaster from the start.
Well, speaking of
disasters, he won't be going on the next one.
Your phone. Where's your phone today?
Oh, my phone. I don't have it.
Why?
Because it's being upgraded.
That's nonsense.
My brother's taken it and said, he'll get me an iPhone X.
But it takes 10 minutes to swap over SIM card and do it.
This has to go through,
did you tell me just before that Roos said it's got to be like an all-nighter thing to
Yeah.
God.
What's on it?
Rue is just fitting to you.
Some really good.
This is a disaster.
Why?
Rue, it doesn't take 24 hours for anything
to
download. 15
minutes max, I reckon.
Totally.
What?
I'd be very worried.
I think there's a lot of stuff we had to clear off first.
He's got some sort of tracking device going on it.
That's exactly what it is.
Hey, I happen to be awake. Sure. Okay. I set my alarm, as I do every year, as I have for about 20 years, to watch Eurovision. And I'm ecstatic because Australia's in it. We've loved having Australia in it. Dammy M came second last year.
Yeah.
Blew the roof off the place. And Australia's own Jessica Malloy
let herself down.
No,
let her
she
country
did not.
Down.
I beg your pardon.
One word: choke.
Now that's rubbish.
No, you can't
say that at all. She's spectacular. I love her.
No,
and you're
I'm being a dick, everyone.
You are being a
Stop
dick.
Writing letters.
Can we just hear Jessica singing her heart out?
Yep.
For our country.
Called "We Got Love."
There you go. And, you know, there was lots of lights and fireworks going off. It was pretty spectacular. But
it's called a stage show, Jane. That's what happens when you've got a singer out there on a...
What are you doing? You don't know what you're talking about. Be quiet.
Well, what was she going to do? Stand out there on her own? Like
no, I'm saying that was like it was over the top. You know, it was really good.
Did she have a good show, is that what you're saying?
I thought she was fantastic. But the audience didn't around the world vote her. In fact, kind of was, unfortunately, we came really quite dire. And I think it's because the world's unhappy. Australia is part of Eurovision.
It's a backlash.
It is a backlash. And it's unfair because the winner... is from Israel, and hello, since when is Israel part of Europe?
Well, we came second last year, didn't we?
Yes.
Well, so this is what happened.
God, are you not even listening?
But listen to me. Hey, listen, your turn to listen to me.
Oh, okay.
This is, I think, some of the most political voting in any political system I've ever seen. People are running off nations against nations. They're forming voting blocks.
They are.
They're, it's like they one are. Of those boards. You need one of those big boards where you push the pieces around.
Correct.
Like you're a five-star general going, how do we get our Eurovision winner across the line?
Well, you've got to cop the – I mean, the winning song from Israel is called Toy. And I'm sorry, but she's a real tool, this birdie one.
Wow.
Netta. She looked like Björk. You know what she looked like?
Björk.
She looked like Björk had too many Big Macs. No, sorry, too many walruses. Honestly. Can we hear a bit of this nut job song?
She looked like Björk and slept with a walrus.
Correct. Let's have a listen.
And produced.
All right, here's Netta.
It's ridiculous.
Okay. Dave, I think you're playing that backwards.
No, that's the song.
That is the flipping song.
That's the winner of Eurovision, Netta and Toy.
So that is political, you're right.
What
that
is
was Israel's
going
one.
On.
So that means next year, you know, that it will be in Israel, the song contest.
Oh, is that what happens? Well,
yes, you get to sing it. There was a stage invasion. Always love that.
No, this is mandatory now, isn't it?
It is. This is when the English bird, Sue Ree, was singing. She looked a bit like Annie Lennox. Mm. And she was singing. The song's a dud.
Yeah.
In my humble
opinion. Probably deserved an invasion.
I think the invasion actually made...
I thought
it was a bit of rap and I thought it was really good. Take a listen and then when you hear the man speaking, that's not supposed to be there. That was just like some crazy Nazi rave, but I actually think it fits in quite well.
She'd got there a little earlier.
I agree. He should. So the commentators for Australia, of course, were Miff Warhurst and Joel Creasy. And here's what they had to say after this dreadful pitch invasion.
Yep.
She sang through that, someone rushing the stage and grabbing onto her, and what a performance.
Some absolute cockhead. Got on stage, but what a professional. She slayed that, and the crowd are behind her.
Well done, Joel.
Well done, Joel. He said it as he felt it.
And picked up by J.K. Rowling, who heard about it and, gave some special magic.
Well done all round.
Stars all round.
Well, he's the big winner. He's represented Australia beautifully. Joel,
yes,
welcome
back. Mm. And congratulations to Jessica for performing for us.
I don't know.
What would you do?
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. What? I'll show you. I'm Colonel Tom Parker, and I'm taking charge of Australia's entrance to Eurovision. And after this ad break, I will play you my selections.
All right, stick around for that.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Well, Eurovision was on yesterday.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, beautiful Jess Malloy, who did Australia
choked.
Proud. Did Australia
great.
Proud.
I'm making a round, everyone.
And was fantastic. But
She did her best. But the mistakes were made in choice songs and the way we represent ourselves on the world stage. You want to bust into Eurovision, you need to make a big statement, you need to make an Aussie statement, you need to come out swinging. You need to acknowledge your strengths in this country, the uniqueness of who we are, and you walk on that stage, you stare them in the eyes, and you go bang, and you deliver with something culturally significant and apparent.
So you, Mr. Rick Birch, as you are now referring to yourself as clearly, you have some ideas, do you?
I do.
Okay.
Next year.
Well, I'll hand it over to you.
I would send Kevin Bloody Wilson.
Written in the back of the youth, on a blanket with the tailgate down.
Hey.
You see, that's how we sell Australia.
That is
it. You know
it.
What? You can't help but like that, can you?
They will be rocking.
They'll be clapping their hands, singing along.
Good luck pitch invading when Kevin Bloody Wilson's up there.
All the Australians will be decked out in hats and
doing a bit of line dancing.
Line dancing. Hey, Keith Urban could do
it. It's got a kazoo in it. Yeah. It's got a kazoo in it.
I like the lead break. Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
All right. I say
okay,
that.
What else
is
you got?
One. This is one that I think many people who follow sport in this country, we're a great sporting nation. Why wouldn't you lead with a bit of this? Come on!
With a bunch of people in football gear.
Mike Brady.
Mike Brady. Great eponymous Mike Brady.
Yeah.
Up there on his own with a guitar.
They love a big anthem at Eurovision. And
then
that's
after
anthemic.
That, if they were an encore, he could do Big Beans or Big Beans.
I don't remember that one.
That was his.
That was his, was it?
Oh, that was at Mother Goose.
Mother Goose.
Mother Goose. Let's take Mother Goose.
Okay.
Let's take Mother
Listen,
Goose.
Listen, you're going crazy. No, you've got quite a few. Let's go to the next one.
Here. SPC. That was his. SPC. Baked beans and spaghetti. A hungry little human beings.
Okay.
Let's he could do that as a follow-up.
He could. We'd have to suffer for your singing.
Oh, this is one I think that resonates with all Australian music lovers. You're going home in the back of a TV bed. At closing time, one of your mates has made a dick of himself and you all stand around as the divisional van takes off.
Again, the Miller shirt look.
That's how we come out.
And the boots.
A divvy van comes out, back doors open, all our dancers come out in flannel.
And you could do it because you've been in the back of a divvy van before, haven't you?
Good luck getting me out.
I reckon,
Go get the fire hose, boys.
Okay, I'm taking it all on board, Mick. What's your next one?
Okay, well, this one, I think, if it's not the national anthem, it should be, but would blow them
away
out of the joint over there in Europe.
Oh, hang on.
The Ukraine have gone mad. The Ukraine have given it a perfect 10.
They won't like that language.
That's what it's all about.
Hang on. Those voices sound familiar. Is that you?
That was mainly Simon.
Oh, the godfather of rock.
Nice work, fellas. Anything else?
Well, that was
the
godfather. Well, the godfather of rock is coming up. Actually, right now.
Yeah.
Because he may have produced this song, which I love. And you will remember from your past, which I think speaks in a uniquely Australian voice from an Australian perspective.
Okay. Jump in my car. Oh, yeah.
Ted Mulry.
Oh, yeah.
Classic. It could be literal, the clip.
That's right.
It could be cute girl.
I beg your pardon. This is the one that... Let's go to the next one. Right. This is the one that Lee Simon produced and one that means a lot to me.
All right. I met her on a Friday, helping out an old mate waiting at the corner. She was dressed in black. It was, I expected, a really tasty bird. He said she was good looking. Why should I doubt his word? When I saw her there, she was a real disgrace. I thought, nice legs, shame about the price. Yeah, so...
Come on.
A couple of lines stand out for me in that song. She was a real tasty bird. and she was a real disgrace. Nice legs, shame about the face.
That says it all, doesn't it?
Mm.
Don't you think?
It
captures the magic.
It's unifying.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll open it up to our listeners as well. And I think these are the songs that do us best.
I agree.
In the public arena and represent who we are as a people.
All right.
Give us a call if you've got one you think I may have missed.
Yeah. Mm.
And we'll continue this.
Got to be plenty.
All right. 133353. What song should Australia do at Eurovision?
Yeah.
Help Mick out. We'll take your suggestions right after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
Taking your calls on 133353 because Eurovision, our girl Jess Malloy missed out and we think that, Mick thinks that it should be a truly Australian song that will get us over the line.
I think she got done in song selection. I think as Australians we need to represent who we are, where we're coming from, what our background is. And
I'll just say it's going crazy in here. Dave, you are one busy guy right now.
Just finding all these great suggestions that we have.
Trying to pull them all together. We've had some fantastic stuff already. Glenn's on the line and he's got something he'd like to chuck into the mix. Glenn, who, what do you think the song should be?
Yeah, g'day, Mick. Jane, g'day, I reckon Bloke by Chris Franklin.
I think we've got a bit of it here. I'm a bloke, I'm an knocker, and I really love your knockers.
I'm a labourer by day, I piss up all me pay. Europeans would love it, Mick.
Oh, my God.
It's just Chris Franklin with a can of beer.
Yeah. Just pour my beer and get my smokes and go away. So you send that to the woman.
Yeah.
Get my beer and get my spokes and go away.
And you should, or an Australian representative should come out at that point and you should tell them to go away.
They just have a whole bunch of chicks and
it's
just dancing.
It's a fascinating insight into our culture.
It is a fascinating.
Well done,
thank
Glenn.
Thank you, Glenn. That's
like
a ripper.
I like it. Adrian, I'm a bit worried here. You stand by your dump button here, mate. What?
Yep.
Yes, Adrian, what's the what's the song that you think best represents Australia?
How are you guys?
Good.
It's a bit like your back of the divvy van, but it goes... what's the colour of a two-cent piece? Copper, copper.
That's it. No, and it stops for all coppers are.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. That was very enlightening for me and interesting. Thank you, Adrian. I love that. Hey, Ross, I think you have got an Australian classic that you are suggesting.
Yeah, love to have a beer with Duncan.
I love to have a beer with Duncan. I love to have a beer with Duncan.
Cop that, Europe.
A drink in moderation.
Oh, with the Czech Republic thing in this. They like it. They like their beer.
We drink the Czech Republic. Country where the atmosphere is great. I love to have
good
a
on you, Ross. That's
man,
a ripper.
You've got to turn up. You've got to turn up with the weight
you
of the nation on your back.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you've got to come to play Aussie style. Paul's on the line. Paul, what's the song that you would like to see representing Australia at Eurovision?
You can't get past the old shut up in your face.
Oh, hey,
shut up your face.
What's the matter, you?
Got a bit of an Italian twist.
Yes.
That might get, that might carry a bit of weight with
you're
the
right.
European
you know, one stage
shows we've adapted.
I think that was like the top selling single for years and years.
No kidding.
Yeah,
Joe
like,
Dolce.
I think the voice.
Joe Dolce was the guy. Yeah,
yeah,
he's done well. Well, go and find Joe Dolce. Well done, Paul, and
thank
send
you,
him
Paul.
To the Eurovision with a task in hand. Damien, who would you like to go and play what?
Yeah, the key to Eurovision is tacky, dodgy, terrible dance moves. How can you go past middle-aged men in skivvies doing hot potato?
Oh, the Wiggles. Hot potato, 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 potato, potato. Okay, Pitch Invader now. Go.
Hey, those
go,
boys
go.
Know about
that's,
staging.
That's when you launch into your Nazi rant halfway right. through hot potato.
I wouldn't be, it wouldn't bother me at all to see the Wiggles appearing.
This one could make it, I reckon. This
What's
is a
that?
Genuine chance. Lockie, are you there?
I'm here, fellas.
You've now, we've probably been a bit male heavy in all this. The
yes,
women
you have
the
been.
Women generally do perform well.
Yeah.
They've represented us on the international stage fantastically for so many years.
What's Lockie got up
Lockie.
His sleeve? You guys aren't showing me what this is.
Well,
this one is both educational and entertaining. It's a duet, two famous Australians, Dorothy the Dinosaur and Jane the Dentist.
Oh.
Oh, all right.
It's shining so brightly and I can
That's enough. She's giving me the kiss.
As lovely in the world as me.
Can I say something?
What?
In all honesty, I'd rather go to the dentist than listen to that song.
You can see me performing in my blue
I
dentist outfit with a whole bunch of dinosaurs doing backup singing.
Absolutely.
I could see that. Thanks, Lockie.
Good stuff.
Oh, Joe. How you doing, Joe?
I'm going all right.
That's good. You've suggested one that's a bit of a ripper and we really could see how this could work at Eurovision.
Who is it?
I'm on Smoko. I don't know who sings it.
Yeah, it's the Chats.
It's the Chats. Here it is.
I'm on Smoko. So leave me alone. I'm on Smoko. So leave me alone. I'm on Smoko. So leave me alone. I'm on Smoko. So leave me alone.
There's some boys from Brisbane called the Chats.
Hey, that's what
Can
I'm going to sing
say,
when I get home tonight.
That's my new favourite song.
Mine too.
I've got a feeling they're going to support Queens of the Stone Age when they come out this year. I'm pretty sure.
See you there. If you're listening, Michael, we're very keen to go there.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Same place, same time, please.
We got time for one more?
Sure. Let's do it.
Okay. Mark.
Yes, hello.
Hey, Mark, what would your suggestion be?
You can't get any better than Angus Young and Bon Scott with Highway to Hell.
It's going to be a little hard to organise.
Hey.
We'll give it a go, Mark. Appropriate finish. That's what I'm talking about.
Thank you, Eurovision.
We go to Eurovision. We take the chockies with some good old Aussie Australia.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Another f***ing royal wedding update.
When is it, Jane, this weekend?
This Saturday night, 7:30. Going to get a few of the girls round.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Get the
It's going to be like grand final night, isn't it?
It is.
It's going to be.
You know, I had a lot of girlfriends around at Princess Diana's funeral.
Yeah.
That was a very sad night. But
few tears.
Do you know where I was when she died? I was in Bali, and she died in a tunnel. We're being chased by
the paparazzi
on motorbikes. And that's exactly what was happening to me at the same time in Bali. I was on a bus being chased by about 20 furious locals on bicycle. You know, everyone's on a...
I'm suggesting it's a little different tale than what she went
through. I had my
Princess
Di moment. I felt and I feel I understand.
How can her death be suddenly all about you?
I just understand. I had a moment where I realised...
I'm actually going to
move on. I'd like to be a princess.
Shush now. This is the happy story because it is a wedding, so I'll be sitting up there. But I'll tell you what, Meghan Markle's family, gosh, they make me laugh. They're going to be a never-ending source of entertainment for me.
Are they ever?
And
who's turning up? Are they allowed to go? What's happening?
Well, the dad's going, but oh, dear.
He's going.
Do you know what he's done?
I saw the story.
Oh, bless his heart. So you know when I talked about last week that he was being fitted for a suit because the paparazzi took the photos of him and he was being, you know, decked out. And there was another photo of him sort of just casually in a street corner sipping a coffee and looking on a computer at happy pictures of the couple.
Looking like he was in a witness protection scheme is what I read into it. Like,
and I thought,
like
God, the paps,
him down.
How did they get to him? Oh, so easily. Because he flipping arranged it.
He's
collaborated with the paparazzi and they've got about 180,000 quid for these pictures and he's admitted it. He said, I've done it.
Well, Fergie did the same thing, if you remember. She sat in a room.
She'd already stuffed up. She was already getting divorced.
Hang on. She was flipped open a briefcase full of cash.
I know.
And she said, I'll take that.
But that was already after she'd upset the royal family.
Oh, she's okay.
He has not even walked his daughter down the aisle. So this is
I tell you something? This ridiculous. During the wedding, on the one side, on the groom's side, they'll all be like royals and look great. Yeah. On the bride's side, carny folk, and a couple of adult performers. That's the other story. get to that.
Oh, okay, I will.
It's massive.
Former porn star has claimed. Well, he went out with Meghan Markle.
He went on a date with Meghan Markle.
Yes, and he says she dumped him. Guess what? Over. His garlic breath.
Oh, jeez.
I mean.
I would have thought he'd had bigger issues.
I thought he would have had. Bigger issues.
So she went out. She's now in her background in her previous life as a citizen. She's dated porn stars.
Yep. Simon Rex. And he's now dating Paris Hilton. What?
Who was it?
Simon Rex.
I was really hoping it was going to be Ron Jeremy. The hedgehog.
Yeah.
That may have been
likely. The hedgehog
likely.
Was there at the wedding.
There you go.
Awesome.
And in great tradition.
Or maybe Gordon Ramsay's poor dwarf double.
Oh.
Do you think that's who she dated?
So I still can't even believe
that's
true.
That's why she crawled into a badger hole after left. Meghan Markle dumped him. And Gordon Ramsay's poor dwarf double went and died in a badger hole.
So just there you go. I've got the menu for the. Oh, well, they said they're going to dine on. British classics.
Surf and turf.
What they're going to range.
What is it?
Oh, God.
Beef and
course,
reef.
Yeah. You know what's ridiculous? They go, of course they go, it's going to be seasonal produce. Of course it's going to be bloody
a bit
seasonal
sneery
produce.
Today. You need to be
I'm not Siri. They would not discuss the dishes in detail, but produce like asparagus, peas, and tomatoes.
What about jaffles?
What a crock. Of course they're going to serve those.
What about ham and cheese, jaffle.
Chicken or beef.
What about toad toad in the
chicken
hole?
Chicken or the beef.
That's all you need to do.
Well, what about one of the, Jell-O? You know the Jell-O cup?
Oh, yeah. Jell-O cup with a Freddo frog in the middle.
Oh, come on.
That sounds good. Anyway, but here's what they're worried about.
That's before you get there, because I'd say this, and I did not know this over the weekend. It's Harry's not Harry. His real name's Henry.
Yep.
How long have you known that?
Like, since the day he was born.
Oh, that's astonishing.
Really?
Henry?
It's not that. A lot of people are not their real names.
Harry.
Well, Michael's not your real name.
Name me one great Henry. A really great one.
Henry VIII? Henry Rollins?
Oh, good one.
The Fonz?
Yes.
Henry Winkler.
But you say he could have been Henry IX. If he's a Henry, you keep the Henry, you wait, you play it out your time, you could have eight wives. Yeah, but Henry the Ninth.
But he chopped their heads off, didn't he?
And
I don't know if you can do that.
The problem is,
you know, they're worried that Meghan and Prince Harry will be poisoned on their wedding day as well, because of the cake and the decorations on it. And they have to be very careful. So they've probably got to have tasters before they have the cake.
That'd be
anyway,
a good job.
You know, I was talking about the Looney family. That ridiculous half brother has written another letter, still begging,
he's quite prolific,
begging
isn't he?
To go to this. Wedding.
Yeah, he's not getting there.
No.
What?
No
well, just go away.
You know, go over the fence, champ. That's your best bet.
He now says, I'm sorry for venting my frustrations about you calling it off to Harry. Mm-hmm. I was disappointed and confused about not getting invited.
But the sad thing is that letter is in cutout letters from the newspaper.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
All the chat is about Eurovision and our sad capitulation.
Well, sung her heart, Jessica Malboy sung her heart out for Australia, but Mick,
but
you
the
have
song
been
selection
suggesting,
was all wrong, yeah. And it's we need to go back to basics. We need to say something which speaks for the people who we are.
Yeah,
comes from that good essential Aussie.
It does.
Core.
It's really quite unique.
And we've had some fantastic suggestions today. We could almost put an album together.
Yeah.
But they keep coming. We weren't going to do this here, but we just there's
I
people
love
and
it.
There's good ones.
Thank
coming
you for
out
calling
the
everyone. We love hearing from you.
Hey Mark, what's the song that you think would be appropriate on the world stage to represent Australia?
Hello Jane, hello Mick.
Hello.
My first suggestion would have been Denise Drysdale, Rack Off Normie.
Oh, that is a classic. Yes. I know all the words to that one.
Yes. And what's the other?
Bob Hudson, The Newcastle Song.
So, another excellent
classic.
Now,
we've had a few people requesting The Newcastle Song.
We have. That was on the top of the charts for years. Weeks, I must say.
Right now, but we will get that before the end of the show. But here is your first suggestion. It's not Denise Drysdale, but it's the song in question. It's an Australian classic. It's called Rack Off Normie.
Along came a lady. He said,
my name's Normie, do you want a ride?
And then me Hell's Angel hero came out from inside. He said, rack off Normie, you and your mates. I know what you're after, but I'll put you straight. I'll smash your back window with a crate like a rock. So rack off now before I do me block. Rack off now before I do me block.
Now, it does get more Australian than that.
Doing me block.
A guy doing his best to get some.
Yep.
And a chick throwing a brick through his back window, his FJ.
And telling him to rack off.
Yep. I mean, that is everything we are as a people.
It has. Can you imagine how cool that would look on stage?
We've overlooked the fine work of Rodney Rood, and I think Brian has a suggestion in that department. Brian, what's the song you think would be great on the world stage?
Well, I think it would be simply un-Australian not to play Mick Me Mate, The Master Farter by Rodney Rood.
Now, Brian, we've had a look at this song and we're about to play the only bit we can the only bit we can play because I think the Eurovision audience would be in for quite a shock.
I think so too. And maybe the
I think Joel Creasy's language would be the least of their worries if this one so got off the chain. Here is the great Rodney Rood with Mick Me Mate, The Master Farter.
Mick Me Mate, The Master Farter. Put the art back into farting with his custom-tailored farts. Mick, me mate, the master farter. Broke new ground in breaking wind with his double-jointed ass.
Take that, Bernie Taupin.
Oh, that's right. Bob Dylan was a poet.
That's the master at work. Great to hear Rodney Rood on a Monday afternoon.
And finally, I think this is one we can all agree on. Bruce, what's the call?
Mick and Jane, how are you going?
Good
Bruce.
Come on, Aussie, come on.
Oh, of course.
This is the all-time best. Have we got that there?
Not yet.
What?
No, we had to go to YouTube to get it. So
Triple M don't have that on demand.
Well, if we couldn't sing it, I'll go, hey.
Well, we've heard a lot of noise now about you Aussie boys now.
Oh,
that
yes,
is one of the greatest songs of all time.
We'll have it after the news.
It represents sport.
I will get it.
We'll get it.
You've got some homework. The Newcastle song.
Yep.
Come on, Aussie, come on. Coming up next, though, in our next hour, I call bullshit.
Oh, yes, I thought you were looking
at
me.
We're both going mad. We've got a great story about a dog that's returned home after some time. And
years, actually.
Don't go the blood.
I'll be close to doing that,
but
actually.
Next, have you been paying attention back? And we speak to the host, Tom Gleisner.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And it is chock-a-block with the good stuff. We are going to run our regular segment, I Call Bullshit, up the flagpole.
And we're going to do a story about a dog who's turned up out of the blue 3 years later. I might go the blub.
It's a bad dog.
It's not a bad
you
dog.
You roll up a paper and smack him on the nose.
No.
Bad dog, where have you been?
Of course
That's
not.
That's what you would say.
Hey, I've
nappy,
read a...
Nappy changing etiquette. We're going to talk about this.
This is this. Actually blew my mind. There was a story about changing a baby's nappy that you won't believe.
Sure, we'll do that. What about... Where's our cow? Where the hell...
Well,
we've been promised
we've
a cow.
We've still got to pay for it from the show's budget.
Well, yeah, that's what we want Triple M to do.
I know.
Not buy my own cow.
I'm not buying my own cow much. Either. I don't love cows that much either.
We'll take your calls, we'll take your treats, but why don't we kick the hour off with this bloke?
We love Tom Gleisner for being the original bush traveller.
Going off the beaten track, Wallaby Jack, Wallaby Jack.
We love him for the introduction that greeted us warmly every Wednesday night in the 90s.
Welcome to the panel. Busy week as always. Lots to talk about. Let's meet those who will be doing the talking this evening.
And more recently, we love Tom for the magnificent job he does wrangling the troops as the host of Have You Been Paying Attention?
Who is this celebrating his 89th birthday? Sam.
Happy birthday, Tom.
But it's not the first time he's hosted a television quiz. He and Jane Kennedy had a very glamorous quiz on The Late Show.
Time once again for Countdown Classics. We're going to ask a few questions of you, and I believe we have some prizes, Jane.
Yes, we do. We have 12 Polly Waffles and 3 Whiz Fizz.
All right, so...
It's big time stuff.
Put down your Polly Waffles and please welcome Tom Gleisner.
Sheesh. We're not like that. It's been pretty lightweight, hasn't it? The whole.
Why does your voice always sound about an octave higher each decade you go
sound
back?
About 12.
I don't know, because there's a vat of gin and a 1,000 cigarettes.
There
that
was not.
Yes. That's
that's gone down since then.
That's the Kathleen Turner. You're the modern day Kathleen.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, you better
I would have gone Nolene from Sylvania Waters, but.
Oh, come on.
That was the first ever. I put it to you, that was the first ever reality show.
Absolutely.
Of that.
Yes, it definitely was. Sylvania Waters.
I used to go, what the hell's this?
They're just
this
filming
will never
people.
Work.
Yeah, they're filming people being real.
But they're real people. What are they doing? Just what they do. What?
Tom, do you watch reality shows?
Absolutely. I'm a big fan.
I am. Like, I like MasterChef, and I don't see that as a reality show. I see that as a cooking competition.
Yes, yeah.
And which I enjoy, but God, I'm over reality shows and the fakeness of them.
And it's the statement of the bleedingly self-evident, like, oh, the competition's really starting to heat up. If I don't lift my game, I could be going home. Yeah, well, that's how it works. That's like...
Duh, Fred.
Like a footballer saying, if I don't kick it through the big sticks... I won't right. score.
Tom, right. We've been involved in many quizzes over the years.
Yes, we have.
From ones that are bullshit ones on the telly to ones that are real, like Have You Been Paying Attention, which comes back tonight.
Indeed.
Very exciting.
It is very exciting, and I'm actually on it.
Jane, indeed. Part of our kicking off the 2018
season. I don't want you slipping her any questions or anything at this stage. I know where you like you to.
No.
What are you talking about?
It's everyone level playing field.
When you've got one of the producers on the panel, I'm sensing a potential
conflict
of interest.
I'm not a... Listen, I have to keep saying this.
Oh, right. You're distancing yourself from Working Dog now,
right? I am distancing myself from Working Dog, yes. Mm. I'm not one of... Am I? I'm not a producer. I have nothing. I never pick myself to go on it. I have to make that
Jane
very clear.
Jane comes in knowing nothing, and when you watch tonight's show, you'll pretty much see
when
that.
Am I on? Am I on any time
I think
soon?
You're scheduled in the next couple of weeks, Mickey. We have to give you a few weeks' notice, because, you know, we've got to work around your RDOs and...
and your golf trips.
Golf trips
that
and...
That good. Hey, now, let me say, what... What is it? Is it business as usual? What have you got planned?
What can we expect
tonight?
Is
Sam Pang back? What's happening?
Pang is back. Everyone's back. Yeah, no, it is. The show has not changed. We still don't have a prize. In fact, the Polly Waffle and Whiz Fizz is actually better than anything we can offer over at 10. But I'm glad just still to be breathing after the shock that was
Family feud, yes.
Not. I should stress, not axed, just rested.
You have to say rested in
inverted commas.
Yeah.
Rested in the same way that Yasmin's getting married was rested.
Mind you, that would mean the host of that show, a very good host of quiz shows, is available.
You're not worried, are you, Tom?
I am.
I think you might have
He'll
to
come
be.
Come for you.
He's floating around looking for a new
Who
pasture.
Else have we got on
for
the show?
For a joke next week, they should just open with him. And no one mention it for the first 5 minutes.
And see the show will go so well. It's not going to happen, Mick. great show tonight. We've got Ed Cavalier, yourself, of course,
Ed
Jane,
Cavalier,
and Edmunds, Kitty Flanagan.
Well, that's just an open class. That's just... just a top shot. That's just A-list
that's top
all
shelf.
The way.
I that's, let the team
much,
down.
Can you say
it
again? I think there's too many women there, isn't there? How many girls on there?
Hey, me too, Mick. Hashtag.
I wouldn't have thought in the modern age. I'm all for,
do you know, I didn't
giving
even,
them something.
I didn't even think about it.
No, nor did I, Janie. But it's
well, well, obviously, Mick does.
I do. I'm offended by it. Now, thank you, before we get into your
travels,
for being our first ever guest on Kennedy Malloy. You nearly sunk it. You nearly sunk it.
It's pushed through.
Despite everything, we're hanging in there.
So
we wanted to thank you very much.
A place in our very limited history.
A great honour.
And you don't get away for a long time much, do you? But you did a big month trip.
Yes, had a big trip, Janie. Got to a... Actually, you've been to Greece, have you not?
I have.
Spent a bit of time there. Mickey, ever been to Greece?
No, I haven't, but it's on the cards.
Jim's Greek Tavern, I guess, is as close as you've got to the...
Pretty close.
Absolutely. No, it's such a cool country because it seems to have dropped off the rate. A lot of people go to Europe, never go to Greece.
Well, a lot of people go to the islands, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Mykonos.
Just do that.
Sifnos.
What did you make of it? Were you?
I loved it. The people are nice, but a little bit... Well, they're convinced that they invented everything. This is the birthplace of democracy, the birthplace of math.
Oh, right.
Hey, what about the bionic ear, guys? That was Australia. Come on, two can play that game. But,
you idiots.
But, yeah, really
anywhere
beautiful.
Specifically in Greece?
We went up north to Thessaloniki. And it's sort of, it's kind of this overlooked, it's like Adelaide, basically.
Why did you go there then?
Well, it was a long story, but they're delighted to have you there because they don't get, as you say, everyone goes to Athens and out to the islands.
Why have you gone there?
And, well, I like to get off the beaten track. Struggle with the language. Do you know?
Oh, Mickey, it is very hard.
Give me one Greek word.
Deia.
I'll give you one. Spanakopita.
Nice. Yeah, well, okay, ruling out food stuff.
Hey, food.
No, that's
just
Italian.
An expression. So clutching your breasts and going, ooh, 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 is...
Malacca.
Yes, Malacca.
Yes, there's one. But that's very rude.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. But compared, especially
need
with...
to dump that in Greece. You dump that for Greece?
Yeah, got it.
Apologies to our Greek listeners. But like compared to Italian and French, where if pressed, you could come up with a dozen words.
Yes.
Greek, and it's hard because like yes, the word for yes... Nay.
Nay, that's right.
That's
so a bit opposite.
And there's a bunch of...
Yeah, but they were first.
Yeah, true. So they invented language.
I did try and learn it, Tom, once with one of those audio books.
Oh,
and
yes.
It was... I did struggle, I have to say.
Yeah, but you got your audio book from Con the Fruiterer. So he did your audio book.
Couple
so it was
of days.
And it's complicated.
It's just Australian with a Greek accent.
The alphabet's different. There's so many words. There's actually no Greek phrase for please don't smoke. That's actually doesn't exist. Seriously.
You should go to Turkey.
God, I was Turkey worse, is it?
Yeah, Turkey for smoking.
Gives it a challenge.
It's compulsory. The kids come out of the womb smoking. Can I bum a ciggy?
Well, there's a
with a big bushy Worcester.
Oh, yeah. And actually, the Turks and the Greeks don't get on all that well because there's a bit of history going back.
A few thousand years.
Sure. And so anything you don't want to refer to Turkish bread because it's not Turkish bread. It's Greek bread.
Yes.
It's not Turkish coffee. It's Greek coffee. And
it's a minefield, Tommy.
It is a minefield. Baklava, all that has got, different versions
absolutely.
Of
it. Absolutely. So you need to be careful.
Tzatziki.
Another word, Jane. Your vocab is excellent.
Would you go back, Tom? Would you go back?
Well, I've been deported, so not technically allowed to now.
Isn't that where... did Tony Mockbell end up there with his wig?
Oh, with the wig. Was he called in Athens?
I thought it was in... Yeah, was it Athens? Yes. At a hotel bar, like a rooftop bar. He was caught there.
A few of them. So, no, but excellent. Stunning. Really, really enjoyed it.
Well, Tom, we will look forward to seeing you on our television screens tonight.
It's
much like...
Looks a bit decayed or something.
Once you see a ruin, they look all the same.
All right.
Tonight, Channel 10, 8:41, after MasterChef.
Be professional, Tom.
I look forward.
Be professional. Don't take any crap from Sam Payne. He'll be after you tonight.
He'll come for you. Oh, my God. And good luck,
Jane. I've warned you.
I hope, yes. I can't tell you how I'm going to go. I'm a bit nervous.
Don't let the network down.
I'll try not to, Tom. Thank you, Tom Gleisner.
Thanks, Janie.
Smarten it up.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
And the show's thanks to the Nissan Pathfinder, too. It's where family adventures start. Nissan Pathfinder. Family driven.
Where can I get one of those, Dave?
Oh, you go to your local Nissan dealer.
That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Because I want one.
Do you?
Yes.
They look good.
I would suggest to you that's as good as there is going around
would you like
in the
me to
SUV
take you on
department.
A trip?
Can we go on a test drive?
Yeah, that's
a good
idea.
Can you take me on a test drive?
I will. Do you want to go through a drive-through?
You could read me like a book.
I know, I could. I could tell that's what you wanted to do.
That'll test its off-road capabilities. Can it go through a drive-thru?
We could put HR sets of twins in.
Well, it's a seven-seater.
Well, you'll get them in, and there'll still be room for the butler.
There will be. And my dog.
This would be us, our dogs, yep. Our twins,
yes.
Thelma and Louise-style road trip.
Going off.
See how far we can get.
I like the idea.
Knock over a 7-Eleven on the way just for fun.
No, let's go after the show.
It is a pathfinder, people.
Yep.
Get excellent. With the plan.
That's it. So get you're on board. Dealer today.
I love those things.
Now, we're talking about dogs just then.
Yeah.
Here's my story that I go, oh, I don't know. Can I read it? Has it got a happy ending?
Stand by for a go on the blub.
Thank goodness it has. A dog in Michigan has been reunited after it's been away for 4 years.
Wow.
Jeez.
Tracked down this, the bloke, the dad of the dog, got a phone call from a microchip company. They just rang up and they said, didn't happen to have a dog that was tan and white, did you? And he goes, oh, God, yes, but like 4 years ago, Bambi, your dog, has turned up. Alive, jeez. Safe, well, like miles and miles from where this bloke lived. And they didn't even know what the dog's been doing.
In a lady's handbag? I mean, where was it? What was it doing?
She was just wandering around.
4 years.
Aimlessly, thin, hungry,
and then
abandoned,
reunited and back. Well, and my question to you is, Jane, what's the point of the microchip?
Well, I agree. I mean, why didn't somebody put the damn dog in the first place?
I'm suggesting the dad may have dumped this dog.
Well, do you know what? Because
it's not until someone said, hang on, we found it. Is this your dog? Surely you microchip your dog so that if it's lost, you can go...
He's claiming they looked for months.
Oh, did they now?
Oh, yeah. I don't think so.
I think that dog's safe. We should get him back off him. Hey, no, you know the story. It's a heartwarming story. You know the dog, the great movie I always love about the dog when his master dies, sits on his grave.
Oh, no, you can't even talk about that. No. Honestly,
here she goes,
I can't
Dave. Here she goes.
I can't talk about any animal sitting on the grave of its owner. No. Tiny. Remember there was a dog, there was a railway station.
And he was such a little trooper.
And it used to go to the station and wait for the owner to come back, but the owner had died and it never got off the train.
What's going wrong with people? You got to put that dog down.
Oh.
You do. Just put him out of his misery.
Come on, I need a happy story.
No, I'll give you a couple. No, a dog's ability to return
is incredible.
Insane. So my father lived on Vanuatu,
yep.
But he had an Australian cattle dog. Mm. And when it got up there, it couldn't round anything up. And you know, these dogs,
no sheep in
they need to exercise.
Yeah.
So it taught itself to fish. They just stand in the water still for about an hour and then bang, and catch a fish. But to exercise it, we used to drive it out about 5 km in a tinny and tip it over the side, drive the boat back to our front lawn and sit there with beers. And I guarantee about half an hour later, over the horizon,
little dog paddle going crazy.
Dog
paddling back.
He's still coming. What else have you got? I can do that.
I love dog stories like that.
Well, they are all good ones. And there are many instances where we've been surprised or blown away by a dog's ability to return to his master.
And their resilience and what they do. Yeah. Now, actually, one of our mates has called up.
Yes.
With a bit of a dog story. Yeah, he overheard that we were going to talk about this. Andy Lee, how are you,
hey,
Andy?
Hey, guys. Just stepped out of my Nissan Pathfinder.
Well done, mate.
Thanks
man.
For that. Thank you very much. Andy,
have you got your tailor-mades in the back, have you? The tailor-mades are in the back?
I've got a dog story to end all dog stories for you.
Sure,
fire away.
It's one of my mates, Marty, when we were growing up, he had a dog called Ollie Dog.
Yep.
I don't know why I needed to put a dog at the end of the dog.
But it sounds good.
It's not as if he had a cat. But he had a dog that they'd get a call because they had back in the day, the phone number on the dog, get a call, and the dog would be in Frankston and he lived in Bourne. And this is like suburbs away in Melbourne.
Like, right? But that's like 40 kilometres probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then he'd get a call and the dog's like 60 kilometres north and they couldn't work out what the dog was doing.
What was it?
Anyway, we were walking to 7-Eleven one morning. And the dog, we saw an Ollie dog just on a run, and he'd gone to the station, and he was jumping on trains.
You're kidding.
And he would board trains, and then at one point, he must be getting connecting trains, because he wasn't on direct line sometimes. He must have gone into the city, got a connecting train, and headed north.
How did he know how to do that?
I have no idea. And the kicker was, we're in a place called Cheers Nightclub, which Mick would know well.
I do.
And it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and we're having a couple of bourbons. And someone comes up and goes, "Hey, Marty, I think your dog's on the dance floor." And I said, "You know," to our surprise, we went out, and the dog was chasing around the mirror lights on the dance floor.
He followed him there.
Ollie dog. I don't know whether he'd been for pre-drinks beforehand. But
See, we don't need a statue of James Cook. We need statues of dogs like Ollie dog.
That. Yeah. That's outrageous. Yeah. And where's that dog today, Andy?
Ollie dog no longer with us. I told you, it was unfortunately a sad ending, Mick. But
hit by train.
Yeah, there's a statue inside Cheers nightclub.
Well, there'll be one for you and me one day.
I think so.
Same spot. Thanks, Andy. You get a prize pack. Kennedy Malloy prize pack.
Coming your way.
Coming your way. Thanks for your call.
Just
that
what you want.
Hilarious.
You get it.
Great.
Stories like Andy. What's your dog story?
What's he done?
Yeah.
Run away.
How long did he come
Turned
back
Turned up years later.
Yeah.
My dog fell off a cliff and came home.
What?
Well,
or did you
push
it?
Take your calls after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Mick and Jane. Gone Wild.
We have indeed, and it's all in honour today of a dog who's reunited with his family 4 years after running away from home.
Or going on an adventure. They not being sort of, I don't think he was being mistreated.
Flying the coop.
But we're not convinced the owner wanted him back. He didn't look very hard. Seeing as the dog was microchipped.
I think you're microchipping Fred and Lenny.
Oh, the boys.
I think that's the smartest thing you've ever said.
No, seriously.
Honestly.
It'll save their life one day.
I think it will.
He's on the wrong train. He's heading to Devonport. Find my family, find my friends. I would like to do that a lot. We've got a lot of people calling up about dog stories, how your dog returned or got lost or was saved, and we're enjoying it. This is in our
so you know we love dog
sweet
stories.
Spot. We both love it. Jason is on the line. Jason, you adopted a dog.
Yeah, I used to look after an old Greek guy and he passed away and he had an Australian red heeler named Mustafa because he didn't like the Turkish, so he named his dog Mustafa. So what happened is when he passed away, I took on the dog on board and I couldn't speak Greek, obviously, but the dog only understood Greek.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
What I used to do is I'd ring up my mate and I'd go, "Theo, how do I get the dog to sit?" He goes, "Oh, mate, you've got to say pese gatagaro, right?" And I say, "Right, hang on a second." Okay, "Muzaba, pese gatagaro, gala," and he'd sit.
Oh, wow.
That is, Jason, honestly, you're...
That is unbelievable.
That is really great, Greg. It's so hard to learn.
Yeah.
Your other option is to get near Nick Chinopoulos over as the dog whisperer.
He'd do that. Hey, Jason, that's a great story. You got
good
a prize?
Work.
Yeah, prize coming for you.
Prize for Jason.
Yeah, got it.
Hey, Sean, what's your dog done?
Oh, g'day, guys. How you going?
Good.
I used to have a big 85-kilo husky by the name of Leroy.
Oh.
A husky named Leroy?
Yeah,
sounds great.
It was a bit of an escape artist. I used to live in Abbotsford, and we got a phone call one day. The first off, that your dog's at the MCG, and he snatched a lady's handbag, and he was detained by a copper. But the big one was that we got a phone call and said, "Oh, do you own a big husky?" We went, "Yeah." "He's at the train station in Warrnambool."
What is this?
What had transpired is that he jumped on the back of a tradie's ute.
Yeah.
They then loaded onto the train and taken it up there. And they'd gone to get the ute off and this massive husky barking his head off and they didn't want to go anywhere near it.
I love it.
And so me and my girlfriend at the time had to drive up to Warrnambool and collect him.
Well, that's miles away. So that's a great story.
It would have been a warm
beautiful
welcome when you got
husky.
There. I'm sure, Sean. Thank you. Daniel's on the line. Daniel, what is your story?
Look, I have Rusty the dog.
Yeah.
And Rusty's a border collie, and we used to have horses in our property, and he used to chase the horses and round them up.
Yes.
But then he didn't have much to do, so he started finding koalas.
Okay.
Now, how did you work this out, Daniel? What did he show to find the koalas?
I remember one day we were in the paddock, and I said, "Oh, do you have koalas here?" I said, "Yeah, we do have koalas." And I just said, "Rusty, can you find a koala?" And we walk away, and when I looked later on, about probably 5-10 minutes later, he was sitting down on the bottom of a tree looking up. And I'm like, Hang on a minute. He actually found a koala.
So wow. You're Dr. Doolittle or something, Daniel. What's going on with you talking to your dog and specifically finding koalas that only live up in trees?
What's the Greek for koala? I don't know. You know what I'd like to do? If I could try, I thought about this on the weekend.
Mm. Oh, what?
Mm. If you could train a dog.
Yeah.
To smell the scent of a golf ball. Now, listen to me. They use them at airports. Yeah. They use them at rock concerts. They sniff at dogs. They can get an apple.
And
they
then
get
what?
An apple out of your handbag at 50 feet. Mm. If you gave them your golf ball before you hit it, and this is, trust me, this is from a guy who ends up in the trees a lot, that dog could then, like I call them my beagle caddies. And my beagle caddy,
right, we'll go and get
my ball and it goes 200 metres and then the dog legs right, I go, beagle caddy. And then beagle caddy goes and stands there, doesn't touch it. He might make it a slightly better lie.
Dave.
He might pick it up in his mouth.
I think this is a great idea.
Do you know,
Dave, thank you.
You've seriously given this thought. I can tell in the way your mind's working right
beagle
now.
Beagle caddy will save you money, will save you time, will take shots off your game.
They're a good sniffer dog.
They're a good sniffer dog.
That could get you into some trouble. Look out for that.
No, golf balls. I said golf balls.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, Karen.
Yes.
Tell us your story, but it doesn't involve a dog.
This isn't a dog story, Karen.
No, it's not, but...
We'll let it through the keeper this once, all right?
Jeez. Okay, all right. So last year I got a phone call from one of the local lost, found, injured pet sites, and they said to me, oh, have you got a cat called Socks? I'm like, yeah. And they said, oh, we've got it. Now, the thing is, Socks went missing 6 years ago. And I looked for her for months and months with my children. And, went and picked her up and still got her.
Probably spent most of that next door being really well fed and being allowed to sleep inside.
Where had Socks been?
I have no idea. Somebody must have kept her inside because she was looking really healthy and no wounds or anything.
Sounds like someone catnapped her. That's what
I think.
Like she's been doing exactly what she wants for the last 6 years.
Cats are a bit like that.
Enough, and I'm back.
Good on you, Karen.
I like
Thank
it.
You.
Well, there we go. We got to the bottom of that. All good. Beagle caddies.
That's a brilliant
beagle caddy. Probably actually
it
not so
sniffs
silly.
Out your golf ball.
Yeah, yeah, I like
heard
it.
Heard it first. Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
I'm still a little bit tired because I sat up and watched Eurovision Song Contest. I got up at 5 a.m.
And you're going to be up for the royal wedding this weekend on Saturday.
That's at night time. I can cope with that.
That's at night time. But today we've been swamped with suggestions for songs in future that represent Australia at Eurovision.
That truly represent the real spirit of Australia.
And we feel that's where they went wrong, song selection. And they've been coming in. We've got most of them out of the way, but the people just keep calling. So we're going to keep running through. I've got a couple.
What
more.
Are yours, Mickey? Yeah.
What about the Bunnings Warehouse theme?
Oh, man.
Do this. Ladies and gentlemen, Australia.
Is this the instrumental version?
You've got this. Tommy Emmanuel.
This is the lead track. Ready? Okay, here we go.
Bunnings Warehouse. Yeah, baby.
Where lowest prices are just the beginning.
Hey, what about this one?
I love
Dave?
Your work.
This is the other one I reckon. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Australia.
Bone cabin fishing is fishy effing fun. Bone cabin fishing is fishy effing fun. So go and ask an expert, they'll show you how it's done. Because bone cabin fishing is fishy effing fun.
Yes!
Everybody!
That will get us across the line, into the files. Daniel's on the line. Daniel, have you got one we've missed?
G'day, Mick. G'day, Jane.
Hey, Daniel.
What's the song, mate?
Football, meat, roast kangaroos and Holden cars.
Well, I think you've got it all under the one roof there.
Football, meat, pies, kangaroos and Holden cars. Football, meat, pies, kangaroos and Holden cars.
And repeat.
That's football, meat, pies, kangaroos and Holden cars.
They go together. Underneath the sun and stars.
We could have a little choir up there.
People could be dressed as meat pies.
Oh, a big meat pie comes out.
Yeah, big kangaroo.
Kangaroo bounces out. I burst out of a giant meat pie.
That I would pay to see. That'll bring us home.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Well done, Daniel. That speaks to all Australians and who we are. John, or what would you like us to consider?
Yeah, hi, Mick and Jan. Love your show. I've got a song, Farewell, Auntie Jack, I think.
I love this show.
Oh, I do, too.
I love this show, and this song would...
Farewell, Auntie Jack, we know you'll be back. Though you're 10 feet tall, you don't scare. tall. You're big, bold and tough, but you're not so rough. There's a scream as you plummet away.
Hello, me low lovely. So remember, you better listen to this song real close.
And the winner is Australia.
I'm gonna jump through your speakers and bring your bloody arms.
All right, that's the money shot. That ends with him ripping someone's arm off.
Love it.
We've got time to keep going. We'll have a couple more quickly. Josh.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, good, Josh.
That's the way everyone else can just take a seat because I've got the winner right here.
What is it?
The Cosmic Psychos. Nice day to go to the pub.
Yeah. Take that, Finland.
Take that, Sven.
We're all over it.
See you at IKEA, you nerd. I like it, mate.
Yeah.
All right, Josh. Great call. And to boot at home, Sean, what's your suggestion?
Hi, guys.
G'day.
Thanks for having me.
Yep.
You're welcome.
Look, it's an Aussie classic. I can't remember who sings it, but nobody likes a bogan.
Red blue jeans and a flannelette shirt, a well-kept mullet and a packet of smokes. His mates will tell you he's a real top bloke. Nobody likes a bogan.
Oh, I like it slightly ska music, isn't it?
That was Area 7, by the way.
Good on you, Sean. Thanks for that. Well done, everybody.
Oh, yeah, huge.
I love it. Hey, where's one for you? What about when Kath Day Night sings the Richmond theme song?
Oh, well, maybe not. Let's try and find it. It's pretty funny.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
No time for I Call Bullshit. We've been carried away. We'll do it tomorrow. We've been carried away with song suggestions for next year's Eurovision.
To get us to the number one position, to get that crown.
I've got one more.
Have you?
This is an Australian classic. Okay. It's Tigerland, as sung by Kath Day Night.
If we're behind the never mind, we'll fight and we know we're from Tigerland. The Tigers, yellow and black, we're from Tigerland. Come on, Kel. We don't want to miss our first footy match together, Doc.
She wasn't very happy when Kel turned up.
She wasn't very happy. If you go to our Instagram too, you can see something that was passed
speaking
of Kel himself, Glenn Robbins, who went away with Mick.
I'll sue him for this. I will sue
him. Well, people have seen it. It's Mickey having a little nana nap on a helicopter in New Zealand.
Over the Alps of New Zealand.
Yes, where you'd probably be looking out the vista, but not
Mick.
He's
made a very powerful enemy.
People have said... Peninsula Limo. So all you need is the drool to complete that, Mickey. Right. Didn't you have a bit of
There's
drool?
A lot of support there on you, Mickey.
I
thank you.
I don't know if a lot of support is the word.
There you go.
Early contender for Clown of the Week, says Dave, 87. Cheeky Jojo, Glenny Robbins, you've made a very powerful enemy.
Correct. Right, you've had enough. Hey, and can I just take this opportunity to say welcome aboard Nissan Pathfinder. Great to have you on board. This is the next generation family SUV. If you love your family, pop them in the Pathfinder.
We'll be un-Australian if you didn't.
And it's job done. That's as good as it gets. It's top shelf. It's the way to go.
And
it
you
is
can
the
feed
future.
You fit a whole stack of people.
Seven adult-sized people. So that's you, me, my twins, your twins,
and
your dog's
two
an adult-sized person.
There counts as one.
And we can pick up, I don't know, someone on the way.
We could. Maybe Uber Eats will fit in the drive-thru. Maybe we could stay,
We could drop off Uber Eats.
We could drop off Uber Eats.
We
There's
might
another
need to.
Job.
Big show tomorrow. Sophie Monk on the show.
Hello.
This has been Kennedy Malloy.
We're not sure you're more intelligent having listened to the Kennedy Malloy Catch-Up podcast, but the Nissan Pathfinder Ti offers intelligent cruise control and intelligent around-view monitor. Nissan Pathfinder. Family driven.